Hello, everyone. Welcome. We are live. Amanda Grace here with you. It is December 2nd. Can you believe it? We're already into December. November just did a drive-by and it is gone. But I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Welcome to everybody jumping on from the United States and around the world. We are so happy to have you here with us. We are having people come in from Missouri, Utah, Virginia, Long Island. I love those Long Islanders. They carry their vowels for so long. Australia, our friends across the world in Australia are watching. Alberta, Canada, our neighbors in Canada, Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey. Let me tell you something about people in New Jersey, especially women. They love their leopard print. Let me tell you, they absolutely love their, God bless them. I love a good leopard print pattern myself. But you think New York drivers have a screw loose, which I am not denying that. If you drive in the city, put your defensive driving on because it gets like the Autobahn very fast. But New Jersey drivers are a hybrid sort of mix between New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, which I call the land of left exits. I've never seen more left exits in my life than driving through the state of Connecticut. But we love our friends in New Jersey for it. We love them for all of that. So thank you for joining us. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So as you notice, it's a little bare in the back right now because we are in the process of changing the office over into winter decor. So by the time we come back next time, definitely by next week, we will have winter decor up. So don't mind the bareness there for a moment. We have a lot to talk about. Let me tell you, I have been praying and waiting before I come on and talk about this. I have, because I'm not one to jump into salaciousness. At least I try not to very fast. I always like to pray and listen for the Lord. Funny enough, the Lord talks to me while I'm decorating. I know that might sound funny to many of you, but my brain is so occupied in a way that my spirit, I can hear very easy because my brain is sort of relaxed and it's tied up in decorating the house right now. So the Lord will stop me just smack in the living room or and say something to me. So we're going to get into all of that. So if you could share this video, we are going to talk about Daystar. We're going to talk about parallels that are happening that first happened in the government, in the political arena. Now it's hit the church and the nation. And we're going to talk about that. So if you could share this broadcast, like and subscribe, we'd very much appreciate it. Now, people are watching on the road. They got us on in their cars. Please, for the love of God, be careful while you're driving and you're watching me. That's all I ask. You want to listen in the car? We are more than happy to have you. Just please be careful on the road. Okay, let's open up in prayer. And we're getting right into tonight. Also, I'll talk about it after, but we have for the last 15 minutes, someone coming on who many of you know, but I will talk about that after opening prayer. So let's open up in prayer and we will get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day, Lord. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we just humble ourselves before you this day. Father, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. Father, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. We are so fallible. We all fall so incredibly short of your glory, Lord. We praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. That blood was sprinkled onto the mercy seat. It redeemed us. It reconciled us back to you, Lord. We praise you that he rose again in 3 days. Jesus Christ miraculously rose again. He ascended back into heaven. He took his victorious rightful place at your right hand where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. into this place, Lord, that your glory, your power, your might would just mightily go forth and saturate this atmosphere, that, Lord, your power would mightily go forth, that people would tangibly feel your presence, Father God, while they're watching, that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, would go forth and be the counselor and lead and guide us tonight, Father. I pray that nothing passes through my lips that doesn't pass through your throne first, Father. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, take all the glory for yourself. We ask you, dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions in the name of Jesus Christ to make a hedge, a shield, and a wall of protection around this broadcast, Father God, around this place, Lord, as we go forth, that every work of darkness, iniquity, sabotage, attack, of any kind is rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command in the name of Jesus Christ, dismantled, destroyed, disabled, nullified, voided, rendered powerless, their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, and it bound up and cast back to the dry places, pits, and areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, we most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, Father God. You deserve all the glory, honor, and praise, Father God. It is your name and your name alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Welcome to those of you who are jumping on right now. Woo, praise the Lord. I felt the presence of the Lord on that one. Okay, welcome, welcome. We have a lot to talk about tonight. There is a parallel. It does involve Daystar. It involves the political arena first. It is now involving the church. I'm going to talk about this prophetically critical parallel for what is happening right now so you understand what we have come into. Okay, this has been a season that has been building for a while, and we're now reaching the crescendo. Now, I prayed, and I didn't jump on last week and talk about this or the week prior because I wanted to pray first, and I wanted to hear the Lord. I just didn't want to jump on, right, and jump into attack mode without hearing the Lord first. So this is why I have withheld for a moment, and we are going to talk about this tonight. Also, at the very end of the broadcast, Mel K will be joining us. So she is going to be coming on at the very end of the broadcast tonight, Mel K. This is after we talk about everything else that we have to get into, because this is crucial for what is happening right now. I know you have heard a lot of talk about this. I know you have heard a lot about what's going on, but the Lord stopped me over the weekend multiple times to speak to me about this, and I want to share this with you. I want to share this prophetic parallel with you because it is so noticeable now. For those of us in the prophetic especially, and those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, it is very noticeable right now. So what I want to do is I want to start off with clips from 2018. In 2018, which was now 6 years ago, I put out a video of all days, I think it was around the time of Passover and Easter Sunday, about double agents in the church and a spring cleaning, a massive one that was coming to the house of God. This is back in 2018 when I had just started the channel, I think 6 months prior to this. Probably 3 months prior to this. So this is back. I look a little different back then. My hair is a little shorter. You know, you guys are going to get a kick out of this. But what was said is so prophetically profound for what we have just seen hit the fan that I figured that we need to show this to you. So let's play the two clips now and we'll come back.
Well, there is certain judgment happening. In the last video, I talked about how we're in a season where everything hidden God is exposing and bringing to light, right? So I spoke about this, which is true. We are in that season. Everything hidden the Lord is exposing. It doesn't matter if it's in the government, Hollywood, politics, the church, people's families. It's all coming out and it's got to be dealt with. So in the church, I call them double agents right now. There are many congregants, even pastors, who are coming to church and who are acting one way, so proclaiming to love the Lord and putting on a good holy act, we'll say, while in church, and then they're leading a double life outside of church. They're leading a life that really has nothing to do with God, that is incredibly ungodly, that is not spiritual, that is not pleasing and holy and acceptable to the Lord. And yes, we all sin and fall short of God's glory, but there's a difference between that and what's going on right now. You know, church should be a place, it's windy out here, should be a place where the sick come to get well. Instead, many churches are becoming a place where sin is enabled and fostered and coddled. So that is turning many people into double agents, where they come to church on Sunday, they pay their dues, and then what do? They leave church and they go and do what they want, no matter what the sin is. And so they're leading double lives. And what does the Lord say? A double-minded man or a woman is unstable in all their ways. Because if they're leading a double life like that, everything else in their life is going to become unstable. And you have pastors right now doing the same thing that need serious prayer. So judgment is indeed coming to the house of God. What do I mean by judgment is coming to the house of God? What I mean by it is this, is it's not the good in the church, the holy, the righteous, the acceptable, the people that are living for the Lord. No, it's the stench and the debris and the tares and the problematic in the church that judgment, the judgment of God is going to hit and then sweep out the debris. So the judgment of God is going to hit and sweep that out of the churches. You know why? Because God's church right now needs to get back into fighting shape.
Okay.
And right now, with what's going on in this world, God's church and his people have to be in fighting shape, equipped soldiers that are conditioned, that are alert, that are aware, that are holy and set apart, that are a peculiar people, that are in this world but not of it. And God's church and his people need to get back into fighting shape, because the Twinkies of the world have been indulged on too much. And what does it do? Instead of conditioning, it deconditions and it breaks down. And then the church isn't as spiritually aware. They're not as powerful, because how can the power of God operate in a church that's not operating in it, okay? The power of God should be seen in God's churches now like never before. What did Jesus say to us? Greater things than these shall you do. Heal the sick, raise the dead. What else did he say? Heal the sick and raise the dead. And if we drink anything poisonous, it will not harm us. Okay, we're supposed to see limbs grow back and people get out of wheelchairs. I was one of them that got raised up out of a wheelchair. Oh, glory to be to God. We're supposed to see cancer flee people's bodies. We're supposed to see people healed of autoimmune diseases, of depression, of oppression, of bondage. We should be seeing this right now. And if the church isn't in fighting shape or God's people, guess what happens? That power isn't there, okay? The enemy has gotten into the churches and has sort of caused the churches, not all of them, but some of them, to become spiritually lazy, and the pastors to not be living a godly, wholesome life, but to be operating where they have one foot in the world and one foot with God. So yes, a spring cleaning and judgment is coming to the house of God, to those parts of the house of God that have strayed from him, that have led people astray from him, that have not been doing what is pleasing to the Lord, that have been mixing worldly practices with the practices of God.
Okay, that was back in 2018 that was given, and it was double agents in the church. And the Lord had shown me back in 2018 about double agents in the church, and that judgment and a spring cleaning was coming to the house of God. And so I wanted to show you that purposely, because that was 6 years ago that the Lord had me start talking about this. Trump was in office back then, and the Lord started showing me this anyway. So that was interesting in itself. Now, let's get into what's going on now, because we first saw this happen in the political arena, and now it's moved to the church. And this does involve Daystar, so I am going to be talking about that. But like I said, I wanted to just hang back for a moment and be prayerful about this before I spoke about this, because I want to speak of it in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, how the Lord wants me to share this. So there is a parallel running in this nation. And what is happening in the political is happening in the church, because at the root, the Lord is dealing with the same issue. So at its root, it's the same issue, though it presents a little different, because you have the political arena and the church. And we just watched the Saul David paradigm play out real time in the political arena, and now it has moved to the church. And why it has is because of the season we are in. So we watched the Saul David paradigm happening with President Trump, and the parallels there, Saul trying to kill David, using a physical weapon. Yes, Chris, we played a clip from 2018. It's okay.
It's going right now.
Yes.
Nothing else.
No, you're on delay. You're on delay. It'll keep going. See? You're okay. Oh my gosh. Chris was watching the old videos, and he said, this is all that's on. You're not on. And so I had to fast forward the video for him to show him that it was just a clip. So sorry about that. But Chris, the look of panic on his face, I don't know if you could see it, but there was a look of panic on Chris's face. So thank you for allowing me to rectify that. So the paradigm with Saul David, now Jonathan's going to come into this, but President Trump, you have Saul trying to kill David, right? So he used physical weapons multiple times. He went to David's house, tried to kill him. We saw physical weapons attempted to be used against President Trump. Then they showed up at his house, Mar-a-Lago, trying to kill him as well. And we saw this parallel. Now, there's a parallel between the political arena and the church right now. The Saul Jonathan David paradigm. Okay, and then you have the Athaliah Air paradigm that is also happening in the church, and it has erupted. This has erupted right after we saw it play out in the political arena. So like without missing a beat, it went from the political arena, just didn't stop, and just went right over into the church, because at the root, it is the same issue. Now, the reason I know this is because in my living room, like I said, I've been decorating, and the Lord talks to me while I'm decorating. And he probably does, like I said, because my brain is relaxed and it is kind of just, you know, in a way, just focused on being creative. And since God is the creator, people that are prophetic tend to be creative people. And so he stops me in the middle of decorating, which is kind of funny, and he'll talk to me. And the Lord stopped me over the weekend in my living room, and he asked me a question. And he said, who is the name of the man that has come forth out of Daystar in opposition? And I went, Jonathan. And my eyes got wide, because Jonathan was Saul's son who opposed Saul when he saw Saul was going down a road, a treacherous road, and that Saul was opposing the plans of the Lord. And Jonathan understood the plans and purposes of God in that moment, and the anointing God had on David and the anointing for the kingdom. And Jonathan understood that. And Jonathan wanted to protect David, who the Lord had anointed to lead. And Jonathan wanted to protect the kingdom by protecting David. So Jonathan opposed his parent, Saul. And Saul gets mad. If you remember, there is a scene, and I'm going to read it in a moment, where David doesn't show up to dinner. The dinner bell rings. David isn't there the first night. The second night, Saul asks where David is. And Jonathan says, David asked if he can go back with his family for a mandatory sacrifice. And Saul realizes that Jonathan is now against him, that Jonathan is not going to buy his bill of corrupt goods anymore. And what does he say to him? What is the term? Because I'm going to read it to you. He says, he calls Jonathan the son of a rebellious woman. That's what he calls him. The son, you son of a rebellious woman. And I'm going to read it to you. It's 1 Samuel 30, verses 24 through 32. And let me read it to you. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon festival came, the king sat down to eat food. The king sat on his seat, as on previous occasions, on his seat by the wall. Then Jonathan stood up, and Abner, his commander. So Abner and Jonathan were in the same room when this heated exchange took place. Keep that in mind, because we're going to come back to Abner in a little while. Sat down by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Yet Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, it is an incident of some kind, and he is not ceremonially clean. Surely he is unclean. Verse 27, but on the next day, the second day of the new moon, David's place was empty again. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to the meal either yesterday or today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, please let me go. Our family is holding a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to attend. Now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me slip away so I may see my brothers. That is why he has not come to the king's table. Verse 30. Now, verse 30, I'm going to tell you why verse 30 is interesting, because Daystar has been around about 30 years. This is erupted at Daystar at around the 30-year mark. Listen to verse 30. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a wayward, rebellious woman. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse over me to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. So now send someone and bring him to me, for he must die. Jonathan answered Saul, his father, why must he be put to death? What has he done? Then Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So Jonathan knew without any doubt that his father had decided to put David to death. Then Jonathan stood up from the table in the heat of anger and ate no food on that second day of the new moon, for he grieved and worried about David because his father had dishonored him. Verse 35, in the morning, Jonathan went out to the field for a meeting with David, and a young boy was with him. And he said to this boy, run, please find the arrows which I am about to shoot. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow past him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan had shot the arrow, Jonathan called to him, is the arrow not beyond you? And Jonathan called out after the boy, hurry, be quick, do not stay. So Jonathan's boy picked up the arrow and came back to his master. But the boy was not aware of anything. Only Jonathan and David knew about the matter. Jonathan gave his weapons to his boy and said to him, go take them to the city. As soon as the boy was gone, David got up from the south side and fell on his face to the ground in submission and respect and bowed three times. Then they kissed one another and wept together, but David wept more. Verse 42, Jonathan told David, go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord shall be between you and me and between my descendants and yours forever. Then he stood and left while Jonathan went into the city. So after this confrontation between Jonathan and Saul, David is hiding in the field. Jonathan tells David what happens, and what happens? David flees. He leaves his home. He leaves the home that he knows. He leaves the area he knows. He leaves the kingdom that he knows, and he flees. Okay. So, and I'm going to tell you something about Saul's, some interesting character traits about them. They start off on the right track. Noble, humble, willing to obey, serving the Lord. However, Saul's have a character flaw in them. If not dealt with, becomes an abuse of power, deceives them into believing they can force, demand what they want, remove who they want. Sauls normally have someone in their ear who is profiting off of them, like Abner, validating the very deception that caused the chain of events to the confrontation with Samuel the prophet, when he told Saul, the kingdom has been torn away from you, and rebelliousness is as the sin of witchcraft. You see, Saul attempted to harm his own son. Saul attempted to harm David. He launched a smear campaign, upended the kingdom, and pursued David like a dog. Now, the same spirit that caused Saul to do that, which is a spirit of delusion and deception and greed, okay, is the same spirit that influenced Athaliah to do what she did. You see, Saul and Athaliah are influenced by the same spirit working through the opposite sex. So now, if you think about it with Athaliah, it's the same paradigm. We are watching these two paradigms, the Athaliah destroying the heirs paradigm and the Saul, David, Jonathan paradigm. We're watching them simultaneously play out right now. And we watch them simultaneously play out in the nation. So we watch these two paradigms first play out in the nation, and now simultaneously they are playing out in the church. And we have to remember that Athaliah was a relative of Jezebel. What Athaliah and Saul have in common is that they want to destroy whom God has anointed. They want to maintain control of the kingdom at the cost of destroying who God may have anointed as heir. They rebel against the plans of the Lord. They are willing to come under great deception to do it and believe their own lies. And they are willing to use force and intimidation to maintain control. Athaliah and Saul are influenced by the same spirit working through the opposite sex. Both want to destroy heirs. Both are willing to use force to maintain control. Both are willing to utilize fear as a weapon to get their way. Okay, this is what they have in common. And I'm going to read to you 2 Kings 11, verses 1 through 3, because this is going to tie all together. I'm tying all of this together for you right now with what we see happening in the church and what we see happening right now at Daystar. And it says, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, who was king of Judah at the time, saw that her son was dead. So she saw the leader of the kingdom was dead. She arose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and abducted him, meaning removed him from the situation, kind of like God removed David from the situation. Joash was removed from the situation and hid him, abducted him from among the king's sons who were to be killed, and hid him in his nurse in the bedroom. So they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom. So hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. Joash was hidden with his nurse in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Now, what happened? Okay, so here's one of the paradigms. When Saul erupted, Jonathan fled and told David, and David had to leave the kingdom. When Ahaziah, the leader of the kingdom, was dead and Athaliah rose up, Joash was taken and hidden in a secret location. What has just happened? Jonathan and Susie Lamb fled and went to a secret location right now and are hidden there. Ahaziah was the son of Athaliah. He was the leader of the kingdom. And when Athaliah saw that the leader of the kingdom was dead, she arose and tried to destroy all the royal offspring. Who suddenly passed away 3 years ago? Marcus Lamb, the leader of the kingdom. When the leader of the kingdom died, right, Miss Joni arises and these problems begin to go into a bubbling cauldron that was set to boil over. Very sad situation. Very broken, horrible, sad situation. Now, the Lord says he works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Not that all things are good, but he works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, I'm not saying Joni Lamb is Athaliah, but I am saying that there is a prophetic pattern of an ancient spirit that is at play here, and a prophetic parallel that is at play here, that it is showing itself and presenting in a more modern way. So I'm saying these people are running parallel of these events in scripture. Now, in the middle of all of this, right? So David flees, hides himself. Joash is taken and hidden away. Jonathan and Susie Lamb are taken and hidden away. Okay. Now, in the middle of all of this, there is, now before I get into Abner, why did Jonathan flee his father to go find David? Because Saul rose up against his son, called him a son of a rebellious woman. How dare you oppose me when the kingdom is supposed to be established for you after me? But Jonathan knew what Saul was doing was wrong, that Saul was under a great deception, that the road Saul had taken the kingdom down was not a righteous one. Jonathan knew that he was not at that moment in time anointed to take over the kingdom that David was, and Jonathan opposed his own parent for what was right in the sight of God. Okay, now, keep that in mind. Let's go to Abner now. Saul's right-hand man, the muscle, the enforcer. 2 Samuel 3:1, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David grew steadily stronger while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker to the point of being powerless. 2 Samuel, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Jonathan was part of that camp because Jonathan came to David's defense. 2 Samuel 3:6-10. Now, while war continued between the house of Saul and David, Abner was proving himself strong in the house of Saul. Now, Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, who was Saul's son, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner was very angry at the words of Ishbosheth, and he said, "Am I a dog's head," which means a despicable traitor, "that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty and kindness to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and his friends by not having you handed over to David, and yet you charge me today with guilt concerning this woman. May God do so to Abner and more also if I do not do for David just as the Lord has sworn to him." So even Abner knew, even though he was strengthening himself and making all his money in the house of Saul, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and establish the throne of David over Israel and Judah from Dan to Beersheba. So, and then Abner sends messengers to David in 2 Samuel 3:12 and asks David to make a treaty with him instead. So Abner flips on Saul and his household. So Abner strengthens himself in the house of Saul. And then, so he strengthens himself. He strengthens his leadership. He strengthens his position in the kingdom. He strengthens his pocket. And then turns suddenly because a member of Saul's family accused him of something despicable and turns on the house of Saul. When Ishbosheth, Saul's other son, accuses Abner of doing something considered to be vile, Abner, immediately after backing Saul that entire time, turns and seeks to make a treaty with David because Abner sees the writing on the wall. Here he is looking to bail before the whole kingdom he strengthened himself in crumbles before him, and he's left with nothing. And he realizes this, and he sees the writing on the wall, and he sends word to David and says, "I will make a treaty with you, and I will help hand the entire kingdom over to you." To me, in this case, Abner is Jimmy Evans. This is what I've been praying about. Abner is Jimmy Evans, strengthened himself in the house of one, right? Strengthened himself in the house of Saul, like a lot. And someone is going to do 180 here in this whole mess. And it really is a mess. But someone's going to do a 180. Abner is going to do a 180. And I'm also going to say this. If your spouse suddenly dies and you very quickly move on to date somebody else and you marry a year later and you try to force your children to accept it, it is only going to help the root of bitterness, hurt, and resentment grow like a ragweed. If you truly believe the Lord brought the two of you together, if you truly believe this marriage is from God, that is for God then to deal with that with your children on the matter. It's not for you to browbeat them into accepting a new spouse. It's not for you to force them, to strong on them when they're still trying to go through the grieving process of getting over a very sudden and tragic death of their father. You win them over with your actions, not your words. That marriage came from the Lord. You know what? Over time, God will deal with their hearts then. God will deal with their hearts and God will allow things to organically happen. See, the problem is that women in this situation sometimes become Sarahs. They want to rush God's timing along. They want to rush things along a little too fast. Oh, because Sarah wasn't producing an heir. Oh, take Hagar. Here, marry Hagar. Here's our solution to this whole thing. And it made a mess of Jerry Springer proportions for Abraham. And this is what happened. It made a mess of, if Jerry Springer were around, that would have been the storyline. Let me tell you, it would have been. Because sometimes people want to move God up and hurry him along. And produce the outcome they want. And in hurrying it along and forcing it and pushing the issue, they actually make a more complex mess and knot that then God has to undo. This is what's happened here. If that marriage came from the Lord, that's up for the Lord to deal with your children. You continue to pray and be about your business that you are supposed to be doing with the Lord, not getting so involved in forcing your kids to accept something that they may in time, but they're not ready to accept. And I'm going to tell you that if you want to have a party in the room counseling or mediating between you and your son, the man that's been lining his pockets with money from Daystar for a very long time is probably not the person to put in that room. An impartial party, impartial, that has no skin in the game, is where you are going to get the most productive conversations happening. Because when Abners get involved, they most often strengthen themselves and then they turn on you. Because they see the writing on the wall that the kingdom is leaning like the Tower of Pisa and is going to fall. And I'm going to tell you something very interesting. Months and months and months ago, Charisma Media sent me Joni Lamb's book called Through the Storm. And they sent it to me that perhaps I could interview her. The book is called Through the Storm. Through is defined as in the midst of, like in the middle of the storm. So that book, you know, the timing of that book was interesting because really the book is in the midst of the storm, not I'm out of the storm. You see what I'm saying? So the book even title was a giveaway in a way for what was about to happen. But I'm going to tell you that when I got the book, the Lord said to me, don't. He said to me, don't. You wait. Do not interview her about this book. The Lord said this to me. And I've been holding on to this for months. People around me know. My team knows who's on tonight. But the Lord said this to me. And he said, don't. And I said, okay. Didn't question it. I just said, okay. And I will tell you, the only way that this can be corrected is through Almighty God. And if and only if there is repentance and submission to doing things his way. Because right now, everyone wants to do things their way. They want to have it their way, like Burger King. Burger King slogan, have it your way. That's what's going on right now in this whole situation at Daystar. Everyone wants to have it their way when it really needs to be had God's way. Because having it their way got them into this mess in the first place. Got them into this. And now you've got this parallel between the Saul, David, Jonathan paradigm and the Athaliah heir paradigm that we just watched out play out on a national stage before the nation the past, I don't know, 8 years, which is about how long Athaliah reigned, by the way, before she fell. And we watched this play out, the whole thing, including Athaliah, who was Kamala Harris. And right after it's done, now you still have Saul loyalists in the nation, just like when David took the throne, there were Saul loyalists in the nation still. But it seamlessly just went right into the church. Because at the root, it's the same issue. The root of deception and being blinded by a power grab. It's the same issue at the same root, presenting itself in two different ways. So you have a parallel between what's happening in the political arena, what's happening in the church, and vice versa. It's more connected than we think. And I'm going to tell you something. I had a dream Thanksgiving morning. So like during the night on Thanksgiving, the Lord gives me a dream. And there was a round table, and I was sitting at the table. And there was a man to my right that had dirty blondish hair and was tan. Okay. Kind of looked like an individual involved in this matter. And Jonathan Lamb was sitting across from us. And I hear he does a lot with Montebello Farm horse racing out of Boston. Now, Suffolk Downs is in Boston, Massachusetts. Suffolk means the people of the South. Daystar is in Texas. Now Montebello is where all the stats are. So if you look up Montebello and you want to see a horse's racing stats, who its sire was, who its dame was, all of that, you would go to Montebello. And it seemed to be some sort of group interview, and I'm just kind of sitting there observing it. And the man with blonde hair tries to grab my hand and fervently pray in front of Jonathan, like really convince Jonathan that he wants this position. He was trying to act it out in front of Jonathan to convince him he wanted this position. And what's interesting is what Jonathan says is the salary was made around the feasts. The salary was made around the feasts. Now, what's interesting is in the account with Saul, David, and Jonathan, it was the feasts of the new moon at the table that everything went down and erupted. And then Jonathan fled to find David, and then David fled. But the salary was made around the feast. And he was holding a piece of paper like this. So here, I'll show you just for the sake of. Okay. So he's got a bunch of papers, not as thick as this, and he's holding it up, but it's blank here, okay? So it's blank, and this is what he's doing. And that paper contained information on the position. And after I saw that, I woke up. And I'm still trying to decode this dream, because horse racing is a competition. Horses are groomed from when they're very young, groomed, because this has a deeper meaning than we think. Horses, whether they're a colt or a filly, are groomed from the time they're very young to become racers when they're older. They are groomed to race the track. They are groomed to carry a jockey. They are groomed for it. Boston was mentioned. Boston was mentioned in the stream having to do with these people. Okay. Montebello Farm Horse Racing and Boston was mentioned in the stream. And it's a competition. It's a competition, horse racing, where money is gambled with. So think about that. Just giving you some nuggets here. It's a competition where money is gambled with and gambled away. And only one horse wins and everybody else loses. And people lose way more money than they ever do make it. Okay? And the salary is based around the feasts. Now, the next major Jewish feast coming up is Purim, divine reversal. Haman tried to destroy the Jews, annihilate them, completely wipe them off the earth. God caused a divine reversal, raised up a Mordecai, raised up an Esther, did something incredible. Haman was hanged on his own gallows. He fell for what he did. His 10 sons fell as well. Haman deceived the king into trying to hand the kingdom over to him and destroy a people that were really anointed by God. So just think about this. I'm giving you all food for thought right now as I'm praying about this dream still and decoding it pertaining to Daystar. So I just want you all to just keep this in mind. Keep this in mind as we move forward, because I'm probably going to do a part two on this at some point. But yes, something did happen to Jonathan's daughter, and we need to pray for that little girl, and we need to pray for this family right now, because watching this play out publicly is also horrible PR for Christianity. I'm not going to lie. It's a horrible PR for Christianity, and it's a it has caused a lot of destruction and pain and angst. However, this is when I have been talking about this years ago, and I warned that the Lord is dropping one of the greatest plumb lines between the shepherd and the showman we've ever seen. And he is dividing the shepherds from the showmen, and he is going to sift. And last year I had said a second sifting was coming to the church. We were going to endure a second sifting. This is why we all should humble ourselves before the Lord. And when you are leadership in the church, you have to take that seriously, because when a sifting comes, and you have been ignoring issues for decades, and they have been getting into every crack and putting down roots, what happens all at once is the foundation crumbles. And we see erupt what we have seen now erupt. But I'm telling you, Jonathan opposed his father. He opposed his parent because he knew what was right in God's eyes. And Jonathan now has now arisen out of Daystar, and we're seeing a very similar parallel. So, pray about this and pray about that dream. I'm going to be praying about it some more and thinking about this and just waiting on the Lord with it. But I wanted to share it with you. So let me, because she's been listening, and we're going to be talking about quite a few things here with Mel Kay, but she's been in the wings listening, and I'm going to bring her on now.
Hello. Oh, I'm so inspired as always by you.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I'm listening to you, and I'm nodding along, and I'm waiting for Purim. Every Purim for the last eight years, I've been waiting for Purim, and every time I'm never disappointed. But mm-hmm. It's been a long road, and I think the boomerang's coming our way. But you know, God bless you. Thank you for having me. It's so exciting. You know, I'm a huge, giant fan of yours. You've been such a good friend.
We have a mutual admiration for each other. And we're both borough girls. We're both from the boroughs of New York.
Yeah. And you know, it's time for people to really go inside. I think we're in a tremendous period of internal conversation with ourselves all over the world. It's a really intimate time between God and the individual. And as you know, I have a book out, Americans yes. Anonymous, that is very much about that each person can right now decide what their future looks like as they mm-hmm. never have had the option before, and find their gifts and really, you know, participate in, I believe, a far better future than we ever could have imagined now. But that requires everyone to be involved. And that is the best part about you, is you inspire people to go inside. And I think right now is a real time that people need to take that time and actually have some silent thoughts about what they want for themselves, this country, and the world in the future.
Well, yeah, because everything is percolating and bubbling over right now. Yeah. All at once in the political arena, in the church, on the world stage. They're trying to start world. We're watching literally World War III begin in Washington, in the church, and on the earth.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And it's all being exposed in a way that's kind of like there's so much information coming out. And as you and I know, there's so much information coming out that's a narrative control, and then there's information coming out, and I think people have to really realize that when they're being emotionally manipulated by the powers that be that are trying to get us to this total chaos level where they can then seize control, that they have to stop when they get emotional and think, am I being manipulated? Because the level of mind control and manipulation is the most evil thing we're dealing with right now. Because as NATO put out a whole document about the battle for the brain, NATO was basically saying, we're going to use the human brain as a weapon against other humans. And people don't realize that they are being used on a massive scale for evil. And once they realize that, it stops. But people have to accept reality as it is, not as they'd like it to be, because we all have a part to play. And if we don't know who the enemy is and we don't know what their goals are, it's very difficult to know who really to focus on, both negative and positive.
And you know, you see what NATO is doing right now. You know, you see they're poking the bear. Oh, and they're doing it intentionally. You know, they're ramming the NATO line back up when it was moved back, and they're pushing it back up purposely to literally poke the bear, you know, in Russia. Not that he's lily white, because he's not by any stretch of the imagination, but they literally are.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah, for me, I mean, I've been tracking these people for a long time on my show. You know, I follow the money a lot. And what I know for sure is that there is a group of people above this planet. I call them the parent company. They're a global public-private partnership in cahoots with what I call the international banking cartel. And they don't want to give up power by any means necessary. And we are dealing with two different kinds of technocrats. We got the ones that are, you know, it looks like fighting for good and humanity as this technology comes at us. And we have the ones that I believe are, I call them the Fourth Reich. You can call them whatever you want, but they are anti-human. They are pro-eugenics. And they really believe that they own this earth and that they can do better than God. And that is why I always said God wins here, but they're not going to go silently. And if that means edging us towards World War III, God forbid nuclear war. But honestly, I believe that smarter heads are prevailing. And though we need to prepare for anything, if I am Putin or Xi or anyone else, I'm thinking more in terms of long term for my survival, because everyone's looking at, oh, they're after us. They're after us. Well, maybe it's because we've had decades of fraud in our country. I have a section in the book, because it's about recovery for our nation. Sick is our secrets. We have allowed ourselves to be deceived. If you think back to JFK's murder, which I believe to be the original coup that we're still dealing with, not only did the people that were involved put themselves on the commission to investigate it, but then they gave us a report, the Warren report, which we all
like January 6th.
Right.
Am I making the connection?
It's the same playbook over and over. And then they give it to the American people. Their controlled media spits it out. And then they act like it's over. We're moving forward. Well, we've done that for 60 years. It's time for the American people to make them to list okay, let's get it all out there. The transparency, no matter what it looks like. And let's make amends and start a brighter future without this cesspool that has been infecting the intelligence community and our nation. And then they triple down with the Unconstitutional Patriot Act. Then what they've done in the last 8 years, enough's enough. And I think that it's all being shown. But what we need to do is we need to accept the truth that we have been betrayed and deceived. And now we have an opportunity, not Trump, we the people, all of us, have the opportunity to right the wrongs and make the path better, not just for America, but for the world.
You know what I notice sometimes, Mel, and I notice this from a spiritual perspective, whether it's in the nation or in the church, because like I said, there's a very similar parallel going on right now. When there's a death of a leader, it is the enemy's way at times of removing a covering. So then when he removes the covering, he can actually go after to enslave the nation. So when JFK, that happened, that was the act of removing a covering, because that meant the enemy then had access to the gate he wanted to open in the nation, right? Because then abortion and other things came after that.
Yep.
Same way with what happened, what I was talking about, what's happening in the Christian world and Christian broadcasting and Daystar. There was a death 3 years ago, and I believe it removed a covering. And the enemy then was allowed to go to a gate that he did not have full access to before that. So you are right when you say we're dealing with the same, it's the same issue. And also the original issue of the assassination of JFK, that's the act of removing a covering. When the enemy wants to make a nation fall, what is he going to try to do? Throw it into turmoil.
Yes. Yes. And we have to remember also, these people were very strategic. A lot of people don't know about Colonel Aquino, the Satanist that ran the psychological operations for the military for many, many years. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And his whole thing was about mind wars by 2020.
Project Stargate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So by 2020, that they could destroy a nation without firing a shot from within. Well, it has been a very long path. Like you just said before, we allowed the roots to get into our backyards. The swamp is not in D.C. That one, I think, is easiest to take care of.
Yeah.
The swamp is in every single one of our backyards because these people were strategic. Right after the entire, even if you look at the entire creation of the UN and Brzezinski and Kissinger and all these players, they were never for the people. They were always for themselves. And what we are really doing at this point is dealing with the leftovers of that, because they also infected all the institutions that we were led to believe through technocracy or whatever else, that these people were superior to us, because that's what they told us. So with their grooming schools, K through 12s, their private schools, then they feed them into the poison Ivy League. Then they're all globalists. Then we're told that they're the authority because they have degrees from this certain place. But when you dig into the certain place, you're going to find skull and bones. You're going to find the original globalist technocrats, totalitarians. You're going to find the people that turned law inside out and inverted it. So all these years, we've all been told, you know, strive for this. Well, you know what? We were looking in the wrong direction. It's the other direction, which is inside, up through God, out through the people. And we were systematically brainwashed to give away our power to people that didn't deserve it and have taken advantage of it. And frankly, we are at an end game. I've said a lot. They have never been so close to their top-down totalitarian one-world government, and they've never been so far. And when Trump says they're not after me, they're after you, I'm in the way, we, the people of the United States, must understand they're not after America, they're after the world, and America is in the way. And that is because of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our God, and that our God and country walk together.
Amen. I totally agree with that. And, you know, their, you know, innate character flaw in these individuals that do this is that they believe they can supersede God.
Right.
So always they drink that Kool-Aid hook, line, and sinker that they can supersede God. They have another way. We're back to the Tower of Babel, reliving it all over again. With what they're doing. It's the tower. We have a different way. We have a way to circumvent God. We have a way to reign supreme. We have a way to take over God's creation. This is always how it starts.
Yeah. And people have to understand that these people, they do the same playbook. So nothing's very different than what happened in China with Mao or with Hitler or the Bolsheviks. We're in that now. And what we need to understand is that these people are slowly but surely, they're a little bit looking at Trump like, what can we do? But we got to still keep Trump in line for one reason. The whole goal is to get us on track and trace surveillance, the digital public infrastructure. Yeah. That is their end goal. And if we, the people, don't say no and keep our own government in check, Donald Trump is not going to save America. God is going to save America.
Amen.
And that requires all of us to believe that we have a say, we have a stake to claim, We individually, our families, our children, we are blessed by God with this backstop for the world. We just are the only country that ever had the opportunity to vote our way out of communism and socialism. This never happened in the history where people said, no, we're not going in that direction. Instead, they were forced. What Donald Trump has done is give us sand in the gears, a respite to look at what's going on. Because behind the scenes, they're not stopping. They're still having their conferences. They don't want states. But they believe that they're above nation states. So like Klaus Schwab and them, they've infiltrated. So now it's up to us to say, no, it's over. You're not, you don't have that right. We are proud Americans. And you know what? I want every other nation to have their culture, their language, their traditions, all these things that make every nation great. And it's a lot of understanding how we got here and that we can opt out. We do have a voice. Donald Trump, you and I traveled the country for 4 years, no matter what, no matter what arrows were thrown, no matter how long it took, no matter how much it cost, because we wanted to be in person with people that were like-minded. We caused a wave. Now it's not time to say, okay, great, we got here. It's time to triple down on what's right and on truth and on justice, and to remind these people that no, you're not going to put every person, every piece of natural resource, every land, water, air, they want it all on kind of a stock exchange, financial stock exchange that they control under the guise of developing nations. It's all a fraud. It's all coming out, but we, the people, need to continue the momentum of going back to the Constitution, going back to the Bill of Rights, and going back to God. And I think we're well on the way. I saw today that there's been a surge in sales of the Bible, and I thought, I'm sure there has.
Amen. There should be. First of all, this is like the Nehemiah moment of the nation. This is the Nehemiah. We just went through Psalm 23. We just experienced that. Now this is the Nehemiah moment for the nation. And you know, David, and Mel knows this well, had two guardrails keeping him in line. Their names were Nathan and Gad, and those were their names. They were the prophet and the seer, and they put guardrails on David because David could go sideways real fast. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, that man would tilt quicker than you not having a V8. Honestly, he would just tilt real fast and just go to the side. And then, you know, the nations, a couple of times, the nation of Israel was at stake because of David's poor actions. Right. And Nathan's the one kicking the door in, going, you are that man, David. It is you that did this, which was bold to do. Yes. But, you know, prophets and seers fear God more than they fear man.
Yeah.
And so, but he had those guardrails, you know? So when she's saying Donald Trump has to be kept in line, this is true. This is what comes with a David anointing. It is. And you need that.
Yeah, because we're actually the soldiers. You know, all this time when we were going through this, people would say to me, but Mel, the Red Sea moment is coming. Well, nobody knew when it was coming, so you can't give up. You got to fight. But after it came, there was a lot of work to do. So let's not act like we came across the sea, okay? But now we have to build the nation back. And we have to invest. We have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of acres of abandoned farmland that should be thriving. We have abandoned towns, abandoned factories all over America because these people, and I say this now, both Bushes, Clinton, Obama, Biden, all in on the controlled demolition and liquidation of the United States of America. We have the bones still, but they need to be in every crevice of this country. We need to put our hands in our backyards, in our neighborhoods, in our counties, in our communities. I feel like every state should take back state pride. When I was little growing up, I remember we had like a school play in third grade, and it was like all about everyone got a county in the state.
Yeah.
It was all about loving New York, you know. And it's like every state, if we could get every state to balance its budget, cut off the federal government, and then compete in a positive way, state to state, for who's going to make their state great again first. You know, there's just so much we can do if we all really focus on the truth, which is we are still here. We are here to begin with, but because we are the light for the world to stop this communist totalitarian takeover. So if we don't act like it, then the rest of the world is going to be waiting and waiting like they are. We light that fire of freedom and liberty, and it will spread worldwide. So basically, Trump is doing us a giant favor, giving us a respite from this globalist agenda. Now it's up to us to finish this, just like it was for everyone that was following Moses. They didn't get past the sea and then be like, okay, great, now we're here. No.
Then they had to fight for the land. They had to fight for the land. They had to go to Jericho and Ai and Canaan. They had to go fight for the land.
Right. Exactly. We're in the exact place. Yep.
This is where we're at. After the Red Sea comes the fight for the land. Remember that. So there's a really good prophetic nugget in there. Really good. Really good. Mel, we have your website up here for people to get your book, Americans Anonymous. It's www.themelkshow.com. Mel, thank you for coming on and joining us.
Thank you so much, my friend. You're such an inspiration. I'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, Mel.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mel is great. And she has a lot of knowledge, and she's Brooklyn, I'm Bronx. So it's kind of like, you know, we're like the adjacent boroughs where we come from. Although Mel has now, you know, she has moved. I still feel like Daniel in Babylon in New York. But the parallels she's talking about can be applied to the church and what's happening right now. Now it's time to fight for the church. We had the Red Sea moment in the nation, right? We're staring at a Red Sea moment in the church right now, because let me tell you, with what we see happening. And for those of you who are watching, who don't know, just things have erupted at Daystar. Just go search articles on it. They have just erupted and spilled out in the open. There is family opposing family right now. This has gotten worse since the death of Marcus Lamb, I believe 3 years ago. It has continued to bubble, and now it has boiled over and it has erupted. And so this is why I was talking about this before Mel K came on. And you need to pray for these people. You need to pray for this whole family, because I believe there's a lot of delusion going on with certain members of the family, and deception as well. I also believe that when things go undealt with and unchecked, and they just are allowed to continue to become an invasive weed that chokes out the life, that chokes out the fruit, what happens eventually is that weed becomes so prominent, how could you not see it around the crop? And that is what I believe has happened here and what we are seeing. But you can Google it and see. It's even the New York Post has picked it up. But it's a very, very, it's a very sad situation, what has happened over at Daystar, but it is following suit with what we have just seen happen in the nation. It is now happening in the church, and the plumb line has been dropped between the shepherds and the showmen. This is the second sifting that is now happening that we are now seeing happen. And we have to understand that the paradigm of Saul, David, Jonathan, and Athaliah and the heirs is at play with this. There is a very strong parallel running with this right now, because what this has become is they have gambled so much on things that God may have not ordained. They have gambled on them to run a race. And when you gamble to run a race, most likely you're going to lose rather than you're going to win. That could be why the horse racing happened to be in that dream. I'm still praying about that dream, by the way, and we will go back to that dream, and we will talk about that dream probably later on this week, along with Hunter Biden and some other things. However, Saul rose up and called his own son, "You son of a wayward, rebellious woman." I think that's pretty darn prophetic. I think, given what we are seeing, that is pretty darn prophetic right now. And then Jonathan fled from his father, fled to David, then David fled, right? Then with Athaliah, they take Joash and they hide him, right? David flees and goes into hiding. And now we have Jonathan and Susie Lamb in hiding. I mean, the parallels are very prominent. And we have Abner in the middle of it that has strengthened himself on the house of Saul, Jimmy Evans, and is seeing the writing on the wall, even though he may not publicly say it, is watching the writing on the wall happen. And when Abner saw that, he turned to David and said, "Make a treaty with me and I will help get you the kingdom." Abner switched so fast after he had lined his pockets and gotten his strength and gotten his military rule all those years from Saul. When he saw that the kingdom was crumbling, he went to David and said, "Make a treaty with me." And Joab, I believe, actually ended up killing Abner. So I believe Joab was a PR nightmare for David. I mean, Joab was just unpredictable, poor decisions. And I believe Abner had killed Joab's brother in battle a while before that. And so I believe Joab ended up going after Abner, and it came down to that. So, but I pray about this, paradigm, because, you know, I am watching, you know, the enforcing and the pushing to accept someone and the pushing and the demands. And I'm going, if this is truly from God, why do you have to do any of that? If the marriage is from God, if what you're doing is, I don't care what people say about me. I mean, I went around the country for 4 years with Reawaken America, right? You know, got publicly threatened. People tried to curse me. I mean, and you know why? I knew what I was doing, what the Lord had called me to do. I don't care what they say. You know why? Because God is my defender. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not for you to take into your own hands. Become an enforcer, drop the hammer, and push to get your way. Because then you end up in a Sarah Hagar love triangle that is made for daytime TV. That's what happens when you push to get your way. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. Remember that. Remember that too. Jonathan and Susie, remember that in the middle of this, that scripture verse, the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Because if you're not holding your peace and you are pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, the Lord ain't fighting for you. You have just gotten out ahead of Almighty God. You've just gone out ahead of him, and that's where you can't see what's coming, where you can't see where you're going. And we have to understand that in this, if you are doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord, that is for God to deal with your children. If they don't agree with it, that's not your fight. That's God's fight. He's their child before he's your child. Children are a gift. They're given by God. That is God's child before that is your child. And God knows best how to wrestle with your child, contrary to what you may believe. He knows best. And if you stay the course with the Lord because you truly believe that God has called you into certain things, there is no reason to push and bully and accuse and force and bring in an Abner and an enforcer and do all of that unless you're trying to push people to drink Kool-Aid. Saul drank the Kool-Aid. He drank it and the whole kingdom got sick. Think about that. Saul drank the Kool-Aid and the whole kingdom got sick. Saul rebelled against what God wanted when he said, kill every Amalekite and everything they have. Because he knew if he didn't, Haman was going to come. And Saul didn't. And Haman came from that line. And here comes the prophet Samuel. Why do I hear the bleating of sheep if you have done what the Lord thy God told you to do? And it was after that, God tore the kingdom from Saul. He may have held the position still, but the anointing was gone. I want you to remember I'm saying this right now. Saul may have held the position in the natural, but the anointing was gone. It was gone. And he lingered in that seat a little longer, but the anointing had already been given to David. David had the anointing without the position. Saul had the position without the anointing. It caused turmoil in the kingdom. That is what we are seeing happen. And Samuel said to David, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is when you don't do what God tells you to do, not when you don't do what man tells you to do. You see, man likes to twist this scripture up into a vine. Rebellion is when you don't do what God tells you to do. It's not when you don't do what man tells you to do. There's a big, big difference. And we have to understand that too many times we want to get the lawyers and the threat's going, and we run to everybody but Almighty God first to fix the problem that you started decades ago because you didn't want to deal with it. So we go to the lawyers, and we go to the enforcers, and we go to the Abners, and we go to the executives, and we go, instead of taking it to the Lord first and everybody else second. You run to Almighty God before you run to the lawyers, because he is the best legal defense you will ever have. But instead, they run to the lawyers. And they run to the enforcers. And they run to those that have lined their pockets for years to be an impartial party. But they don't want an impartial party. They want somebody that is going to enforce a deception or going to enforce an idea, even if God does not promote it. See, I have people around me that are brutally honest with me. And I do that purposely. And I know people can't handle it, and I'm not saying anything bad about this, but a lot of women can't handle it. I like it. It's refreshing to me. I want someone that's brutally honest with me. I do. Because what good is it going to do for my walk with the Lord if people just keep telling me what I want to hear? That's not who God is. That's not supposed to be who he is in our life. And that's not supposed to be what we have around us. I find the brutal honesty refreshing. And I do. And I got some men around me that are brutally honest. My husband being one of them. And I've got others as well. But I find it refreshing because it keeps the flesh in check. It keeps the flesh in check. So when you want a true biblical judgment on something, you want somebody, A, who's brutally honest, and B, somebody who really doesn't have any skin in the game, meaning, you know, they're not on your TV network, you know, they're not any of that. That's what you want. But what happens is they try to build up an army and they forget that God already has one. So they try to build up an army and they try to do that. And they try to get, everybody to you know, either threaten or bully or threaten lawsuits. And they run to the lawyers and they start to hedge. And now you're protecting your empire. You're not protecting what God built. There's a difference. You're not protecting what God built. God is very capable of defending you. God has defended me on more than one occasion. Let me tell you. He has. God has defended me. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. The Lord knows how to fight for you. The problem is when people want something in their flesh and it opposes the resistance that God is putting because God doesn't want that, they will push against that resistance and they will mount up a fleshly army to help validate it. So then they can continue to push in a position that is actually leading them to disaster. It's not your job to make your kids love your new spouse. It's your job to do what God has called you to do. It's God's job to deal with your kids. You got to separate that. Why? So you can look like a happy little family on TV? You just saw my husband come busted in at the beginning of this broadcast, totally lost, saying, why is this video on? That's from like 2018, right? In the middle of me teaching, you saw the whole thing go down. That is my life like five times a day. I'm being honest with you. My husband recovering from a traumatic brain injury. Praise God, he's here with us. But that is my life. Five times a day, at least. What you just witnessed. Did I try to edit it out? Did I try to sugarcoat it? Nope. Here it is. Take it or leave it. This is it. Humanness is relatable. Shiny object syndrome. Squeaky family, but underneath it stinks. is not. It's not. And the Lord is going to restructure Daystar. I'm just telling you, he is. The Lord is going to restructure Daystar. Because stars at some point become supernovas and they burn out. They become too big. They become too filled with, explosive material. And that star begins to grow and then it becomes a supernova and it burns out. And we have to pray. I know what I just said flew out of my mouth from the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, it just did, because that without thinking just totally just flew out of my mouth just now. So I'm not trying to demean them. I am not trying to slander them. I am simply telling you prophetically what the Lord has been showing me in scripture and aligning it with what we see happening. I will encourage you to pray for all parties involved, because Saul had a very miserable end. And he went to the witch of Endor. After all of this erupted with Jonathan, the next thing that happened is Saul went to the witch of Endor because the Lord had left him and the Lord would not answer him. And the anointing of God lifted and the covering lifted. And Saul went to the witch of Endor to try to call up Samuel. So I'm just telling you, I am watching this timeline. And somebody who is going to run parallel to the Witch of Endor is going to pop up in the middle of this. I'm just telling you, this is what looks like is happening. And somebody who may be similar to that, but not the Witch of Endor, I'm just saying you may see that parallel begin to run next as this plays its course. So just be in prayer right now. Please be in prayer about this. Pray for Jonathan and Susie Lamb too. Pray for the Lamb family, the entire family, because it's that playing out publicly in the way it is just heartbreaking all around. But you know, sometimes the Lord allows these things to come to the surface because people refuse to deal with them. And the only way they're going to deal with them is if it affects their bottom dollar. And that is sad, but that is true. So keep that in mind. I'm going to leave you with that thought for tonight. Oh, I felt the Lord on that. I did. I felt the Lord on that. Oh, all right. I'm just going to put up two things here at the end. Now, we're going to put up two sponsors. I'll tell you about them afterwards because people ask me these questions a lot and I want to be able to honestly share with you. So first of all, because it is Cyber Monday, whether people want to admit it or not, it is a thing. You know, if you go to Rakuten, you can get like go through stores and get extra money off. It's just a tip I'm giving all of you out there. But we have MyPillow first. Makes great gifts. There's so much more than just pillows. They have Cyber Monday sales going on. You can use promo code ARC. To save quite a bit of money right now on all my pillow products, including beds, blankets, dog beds, slippers. I mean, they have amazing gifts that you could give. So just go to mypillow.com and use promo code ARC. And Givaderm as well has a sale right now. I use Givaderm on my face twice a day. It truly is food for your face. They are amazing women, love the Lord, have made an amazing all-natural skincare line that I absolutely love. And now my husband, by the way, oh, two packages arrived from Givaderm. So as you can see, I'll tell you about this in a minute, but you have the codes there and you can use our regular promo code as well, which is ARC10. So you can combine the additional code with the ARC10 and get an additional savings. These make amazing presents as well. And two boxes arrived from Givaderm. And one of them had a big Chris written on it. You know why? Because my husband takes my Givaderm stuff now. Like takes it, like the lotion, like all of it. He just started taking it when my boxes were coming, going, this is mine, this is mine. And I'm looking at him like, oh, you know what, Chris, stop being a diva and just let me look through the box for a minute. And this is a true story. So out of the kindness of their hearts, the Givaderm ladies now send a box that says Chris on it as well. So he gets his own Givaderm box. You can't make this stuff up. Also, so people ask me a lot, Amanda, why do you have the sponsorships? And I'll tell you very honestly, First of all, I'm not taking any PPP loans from the government. I'm sorry. I would rather hedge the ministry, the sanctuary, myself and Chris, the animals, in a different way, because I do not want, I didn't take PPP loans the first time around. I don't want to have to ever take PPP loans, because I saw what some ministries did with that money. And it was shady. It was shady. So I don't want to take PPP loans. I'd rather hedge the ministry this way. Secondly, these people that have these businesses, they are believers. They love the Lord. We are a blessing to them. In what it has just happened in the nation, we have been a blessing to them, and we're happy to be a blessing. Thirdly, all the content we put out, the blogs, the videos, everything is free. There is no exclusive membership charge. There is no, if you pay 10 bucks a month, you have exclusive access. No, God freely gives it to me. We are freely giving it out. And so this as well allows us to actually just freely give it to you, which I love nothing more than to do. I don't want exclusive memberships. I don't want exclusive access. God freely gave it to me. I am freely giving it to you. So this is some of the reasons I like to tell people that, because people ask me every now and again. And so I just like to honestly share with you about that. Also, the Revelationary War. This would make a great gift. It's on pre-order right now. So this is my first book. It's through Charisma Media. It's called The Revelationary War, The Epic Battle Against False Prophecy and Deception. This timelines decades worth of a war we have just gone through. It starts at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but it timelines decades of what we went through in this nation and the earth, and the Revelationary War we endured, and that has been raging, and that we are battling. So you can go to the link. We have the link on our website as well. So if we go to the front of our website, maybe they can get it up for a minute so we can show everybody everything on the front of the website before we end for tonight. So I want to show you a couple things on the front of our website so you can see. Because we have the Revelationary War up. So we'll scroll down to that first, and then we'll come back up to the newsletter and everything. So if you scroll down right there, if you click on that, it will take you right to Amazon where you can pre-order the book. It is on pre-order right now on Amazon. Okay, so there you go. Thank you. There's a click here link. Then if you scroll up, yeah, there's me and Timothy Dixon. So you could go look at that too if you want. We're going to be speaking together on a cruise. I've never been on a ship before. This should be interesting. And here you've got two things. You've got newsletter text sign up. And if you click that, you put in your name, your email, and your phone number, because we send out exclusive text. We send out a free newsletter. So you don't have to pay anything for it. We'll just send it to you. So you can put your information in. There you go. So first, last name, email. You can opt in for text, and we will text you as well. And then if we go back, we'll go back. You see newsletter sign up, and then there's the make a donation button. So that's between you and the Lord. But just so you know where it is, that is where it is on the front of our page. So that's all I'm going to say about that, because, well, that stuff's between you and the Lord. That definitely is. So, and I think that's where we're going to end for tonight. We will be back on this week. We will be doing shorts. Thank you for hanging in there with us tonight. So happy to be back on with all of you. This is all going to look like winter probably by the time we come back on. So sorry it's a little bare tonight, but our team stripped it down so that I could decorate it now for winter. So thank you everyone for joining us. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to speak the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to actively speak it. Also, there are other Psalms here, 123, 34, 35, 51. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. Those are in the first few pages of The Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin. I speak those scriptures every day. I audibly say them every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer. The order of that prayer, your kingdom come first, Lord, your will be done on earth as is in heaven, before we ask for anything. The order to that prayer really will help deepen and grow your prayer life. So please go take a look at that as well. We'd like to encourage you as we leave with scripture and with getting in the word. It is living and active. It is current for every generation. We should be in it. We should know it. We should speak it as believers. So thank you everyone for joining us tonight. Keep praying for the Lamb family, and we will be back on probably Wednesday or Thursday. We will announce, but we'll be putting out shorts also. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, everyone. God bless. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute
are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you could go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code R10 for a 10% discount.